Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
As you remain standing for the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to jump right into the message. If you're physically able to, for the reading of God's Word, can you stand with me? Grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start from verse 10, then we'll jump to verse 13 and 14. And if you did not get a message outline when you walked in, our ushers will give you one of those. What's a message outline? They're the points to my message as well as the verses that we'll be studying this morning. And just lift your hand and our spectacular ushers will get you a message outline. I got some props for you today. Y'all better get ready. I studied for today. Come on, somebody. So I got some props for my message, and I believe it's going to speak to us. We'll get to that in a second. But once you got your message outline and your Bible there, I want to just read this together. And as you're turning with me to Philippians 3, like I said, this is going to be the year of divine acceleration and multiplication. Next Sunday, we'll kick off our 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's a Daniel fast. Some of you are like, what is going on? What? I mean, it's a Daniel fast. It's a partial fast. And you can jump in with us, read the document that we gave you, what is fasting. And we'll talk more about it here in a second. But a Daniel fast, when he fasted, things changed. Notably, the Bible talks about how Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, the mouth of the lion was shut. And I believe as you fast this year, that the mouth of the lion is going to be shut from devouring your life. Come on, say amen, okay? So pray with us and jump in. Let's believe God for miracles and see something amazing happen. Okay, are you at Philippians 3? One person, okay. Me and you will read the Bible together. Hallelujah. Are you there? Come on, somebody. All right. You're like, hurry up, media team. Put them on the screens. Okay, there you are. Are you at Philippians 3? Okay, we're all there. Thank you, media team. All right, the Bible reads like this. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the church in Philippi. And I believe if we're going to have a year of divine acceleration and multiplication, we've got to learn how to move forward. And I want to break that down today here. And I want to read these verses. Paul writes in verse number 10 of chapter 3, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. I want you to stop there. What a prayer right there. Father, I want to know you. Make that your prayer in 2018. God, I just want to know you more. You know, and I love how he says, I want to know him and the power. You know, it's possible to know God, but not know his power. There's a lot of people that have information about God, but God doesn't want you to live on information. He wants you to live on revelation. I encounter you, Father. I want to know you, not just about you. Jump down to verse 13. Paul writes this. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I don't got it all figured out. But he says, one thing I do. How many things does he do? One thing I do, Paul says. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Do you believe there's still great things ahead of you? I want you to really think about that. To really begin to activate your faith that, God, there are great things still in front of me. That the best days are not behind me. You know, if we could just go back to the good old days. Praise God for the good old days. Me too. Listen, I thank God for the good old days. But the good old days were good old days. But there are better days in front of you. Come on, somebody. In Jesus' name. I want to press on to what's ahead. I want to move on to what's ahead, Paul writes. Verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize. See, there's a prize that awaits us of the upward call of God that is inside, or it's wrapped in Christ Jesus, which is our salvation and our Savior. I want to minister to you a message that I've entitled Divine Acceleration and Multiplication. I know that's the longest title of the year I'll give you, okay? But I figure let's get out of the way the first Sunday. But Divine Acceleration and Multiplication. I want to talk to you about this prophetic word that we said, how God is going to begin to fast forward us, a season of reaping, a season of moving forward, from going from the back to the front, of seeing God move in a way that you've never seen a move before. Amen? Bow your head and let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I don't know where some people have been. I don't know where some people are at. But I do know in 2018, you want to move them, Father, to greater places with you. So my prayer this morning is as we gather on the first Sunday of 2018, may it not just be another Sunday, but let this morning be an encounter with your word, an encounter with your power and the Holy Spirit, Father, in our lives, that it would shift something in our spirit. It would cause us to dream bigger dreams. It would cause us to see what you see ahead of us, Lord. that we wouldn't be so asphyxiated on where we've gone through or the hurts and the habits and the things that we feel like we've lost. But this morning, you would begin to awaken us to the things that are yet to come, Lord. I pray for the miraculous to be birthed this year, for divine acceleration and multiplication, Lord, as we trust in you. Let our character be transformed. Let our soul be healed and our spirit be quickened with your power and your word, Father. Give me the grace to communicate as we together as a church take another year of journeying through your word to see God's purposes be fulfilled here on earth and so that we could take more of earth to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves God say, amen. Give God a hand clap and you may be seated. Turn to somebody next to you and just tell them God's gonna move you in 2018. Tell them, say, God's gonna move you. God's gonna move you in 2018. Come on now. You know, this morning, I want to welcome all those who are going to watch this on our television program, Heart to God, and also hear us on our podcast. You're in the room with us. Amen. You know, this year, I really sense God's going to move some things in us. He's going to move some things that are around us. And when we talk about, you know, God doing things like divine acceleration and multiplication or God moving, I think we first got to understand that there's something for all of us to move into. Okay. Do you still believe that there's something greater for your marriage to move into? I'm not talking about a bigger house. Come on, somebody. Because how many know you can have a new house but the same old marriage? Come on, somebody. Uh-oh. You better strap. I told you, I'm ready. Strap your seatbelt because we're going in for it. All right. How many know you could get a new hairdo but still have the same attitude? Come on, somebody. How many know you can get a brand new car, but still be all mad at the world still? Okay. So we need to know that there are things God wants to move us into, or things that God wants to move us, and God wants to move in our lives. That everything about the God that we serve is about taking us from where we are to where he's called us to be. But that doesn't work until we fully understand that there is something to step into. Because I believe the one thing the enemy attacks in every single person's life, are you ready for this? The enemy always attacks the move of God in your life. Oh, believe me, if there's anything that the enemy wants to stop in your life, is God moving in your life. He got no problem all kinds of other things moving in your life. He got no problem with him moving in your life, she moving around, them moving over here, they going over. The devil don't care. Go ahead, move all. Go. But the moment God starts moving in your life, that's the one thing the enemy is going to attack. And we've got to know this going into the year of divine acceleration and multiplication. We got to know this when we who are the followers of Jesus, who are called to establish the kingdom, to not live ordinary lives. But the Bible says we're a peculiar people. We're called. We are citizens of heaven. That the one thing the enemy is always going to attack is God moving in my life. Have you figured out that it's easier to file your taxes than to pray sometimes? Like, it's easier for me to tell you, let's all go to the gym, than say, let's all go on a fast. I'm not looking at nobody, I'm looking at the floor. Come on, somebody. Have you figured out that sometimes it's easier to do almost anything but to do the things of God? Why? It's because the one thing the enemy will always attack is the move of God in your life. Because when God starts moving in your life, trust me, things are gonna begin to shift and move, come on, somebody, like never before. Okay? No gate in hell shall prevail, the Bible says. But God is into moving. The Bible is a book of God making moves. If you read the Bible from Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. God begins to move. He starts getting creative. Just a quick side note. The first thing we learn about God is that God is creative. He creates. We serve a creative God. How many know that sometimes we need to get creative? When God, show me a strategy. God, show me something so that I can get creative. But God, the Bible says, he moves and he creates. The Bible says, then he says, let there be light. And there was light. Then God continues to move and he makes, you know, all the whole planet. He makes mankind. He breathes the breath of life into him. And now God makes this move. And guess what happens after God moves? The enemy comes against the move of God. Because every time God moves, the enemy is going to come against the move of God. I just told you. And so when God moves in the Garden of Eden, the Bible then says in Genesis chapter 3 that Satan moves and he tempts Eve. And then Eve eats the fruit, gives some to her husband because, you know, he's like, I'll never say no to a meal. Come on, somebody. And so he ate. It's a joke, by the way. Okay, and so he takes a bite of the fruit, and they both fall from relationship with God, and then they try to hide from God. And so God made a move, then the enemy makes a move, but then God makes another move, and the Bible says he covers them, and he sacrifices, and he covers them, he forgives them, but yet they still need to move out of the Garden of Eden. And then God makes a move and makes a promise to a man named Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless through the seed of Abraham, there shall be a savior. And so God moves through Abraham, but then what ends up happening is the enemy makes a move, and then God's people end up being enslaved into Pharaoh for 400 years. And so they're now slaves, and they can't establish the promises of God. So then God makes a move, and the enemy made a move, but then God makes a move and rises up Moses for them when Moses thought he was finished. But yet even at his older age, God said, you thought you were getting ready for retirement, but you're not going to retire. You're going to refire. And God shows him a burn. Oh, who am I talking to this morning? God makes a move to Moses, and he calls him from a burning bush. You see, oftentimes God will let things turn on fire in your life to show you that he's calling you from the midst of the fire. And so he says, Moses, I've called you. I want you to go. So God makes a move. He moves on a man named Moses, goes to the city of Egypt, tells Pharaoh, let God's people go, does 10 miracles. Now they're free. But the devil makes a move, and he starts getting God's people to complain and to whine and to murmur. And so then they're wandering for 40 years in the desert. But then God says, I'll make another move. And he raises up for them a Joshua generation. And he says, because that generation couldn't trust me, I'll raise up another generation who will trust. I told you, I feel like preaching today. I don't know who I'm going to talk to, but God is getting ready to make a move up in your life. And so God raises up Joshua, and Joshua generation arises, and then they start taking down Jericho, what people thought could never be established because those walls were impenetrable. Nobody could ever defeat the walls of Jericho. God says, watch what I'll do with the man after my own heart. I will move things that have never been moved because they are willing to move. Is there anybody to... Oh. So God makes a move, and the walls come tumbling down, right? And so then they establish the kingdom. But then guess what? The enemy makes a move, and they start worshiping false gods. And then you read in Judges chapter 2. Let me preach the Bible to somebody this morning. In Judges chapter 2, there's this scary verse where the Bible says, then there arose a generation who did not know the Lord. And so what ends up happening is, even though Joshua made a move, this generation forgot about God. So guess what they did? They started worshiping false gods again. And so God makes a move and sends them judges and prophets. And you read the book of Judges, and you read the prophets who come. And then the enemy rises up Goliath, but God makes a move and raises up a man named David to take down this giant called Goliath. But then David starts, you know, getting a little sideways, and they start, you know, again, the generation starts worshiping false gods. But then there's 400 years of silence. And the Bible talks about this period of time from Malachi to Matthew, 400 years of silence. There was no prophet. There was no judge. There was no preacher. There was nothing. And the devil thought he won. He thought, I won. God, you ain't got no more move because I stopped the move of God on planet Earth. But then God says, you lying devil. You think you got me? So God sends an angel named Gabriel and a Christmas. Oh, I feel like preaching Christmas now. God sends an angel named Gabriel, and he says, devil, you don't even think I got a move. Watch this move. He sends Gabriel down to this virgin named Mary and says, Mary, you're going to give birth to a savior, and you shall name him Yeshua, Jesus, salvation, and he shall come. And so guess what? Mary gives birth, and then Jesus is born into the world. He is the divinity of Christ, fully God. Can I preach this morning? He is fully God, and he is fully man. He is the Word wrapped in flesh. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was not made without him. And everything, Jesus starts moving upon. And so Jesus is born, but guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't fill a seat. He doesn't just chill and sit back on a lazy boy. The Bible says he starts moving from town to town. He starts healing folks. He starts preaching. He starts multiplying. Oh, Jesus, help me out, second servant. He starts doing all of these miracles. And then what happens? The devil says, I'm going to make a move. And he kills Jesus. Bible says that he kills Jesus and Judas. The Bible says that the devil enters Judas himself, and Judas betrays Jesus, and Jesus is nailed to a cross. And the devil says, you ain't got no move, God. I just killed your son. One day, I feel like preaching Easter now. One day, nothing happened. Devil says he's partying, popping bottles. 2 days go by. It's Saturday night and I feel all right. But Sunday's coming. I said, Sunday is coming. God said, devil, you thought you stopped the move of God. You forgot no gate in hell shall prevail when I do a thing. If God is for me, who shall be against me? On the third day, the tomb rolled away. Jesus stepped out of the grave, and the Bible says that he rose again. And the same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. You. And he said, no tomb will stop a move of God. And God said, I'm going to move. And he poured out his spirit. And now he says, Freedom House Church, what's your move? I'm going to give you 3 seconds to praise God and lose your mind like you're going to know the power. Give 5 people a high five and say, get ready to move in 2018. Tell them that. Get ready to move. Jesus, I love this because the Bible is a book of God moving. But God, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, oh, this is good, this is good. Ayúdame, Dios, okay, ayúdame, Señor, okay. The Bible says, if the same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells in Hawaii. No, wait, that's not what it says. If it dwells in your Bible, if it dwells, then it shall quicken, watch this now, your mortal, this carne, body that is perishing, that wants to run away from God, that wants to indulge in sin, wants to indulge in pride and lust. The Bible says, but when the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, it quickens your mortal body and it produces something inside that says, I just can't serve God and stay still. I am a move of God. I am a move of God. When I step into my house, I am a move of God. When I step into my workplace, when I step into a hospital room, when I step into my child's room, oh, is there anybody in this place that has got a revelation that you are a move of God? So what is the enemy always fighting? A move of God. You see, God is into divine acceleration. The enemy is into stop. Chill out. Pastor, why are you getting all excited? Working up a sweat. You know, if you could just stay still, the camera could stay on you. Come on, Pastor. I mean, I'll have coffee and praise God. God's good. Let's just kick back. You know, we're on our way to heaven. Why are you so intense? Because I am a move of God. There's an old saying, it's not scriptural, but it's pretty good. All that evil needs to win is for good people to do nothing. Is to just, let me just fill up a chair. You know, I got goals. God says, no, I want to move through your life. You see, I came this morning to stir up somebody. I got a preach in me. I hope you got something inside. Come on, somebody, then let God stir you up. Amen? But that's why I love Paul, because, see, Paul says, one thing I do. I love verse 13. Watch this here. Watch this. It's going to help somebody right now. Watch verse 13. It says here, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. He's like saying, I don't got it all figured out. Now, if Paul don't got it all figured out, how many know we don't got it all figured out? Okay, just for a second, okay? Paul was like, I've been to the third heaven. I'm like, I'm just trying to make it to the first one. Praise God, okay? Okay, Paul talks about, you know, he saw Jesus. He's like, I don't got it all figured out. Why is this so important? Because you don't understand, there are so many people who come to church who think they got it all figured out. It's amazing how many people, they start serving God for like 5 years. They think, I already know this, all the sermons. I already know everything about God. I already know how this is going to go. I already know what he's going to do. And all of a sudden, they got it all figured out. And you don't realize that the moment you think you got figured out, God says, let me just blow your mind like this. Boom. God will quickly let you know you don't got it all figured out. Paul says, I don't got it all figured out. But there's one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. And I reach forward to what's ahead. He says, one thing I've realized that if I'm going to know him and the power of his resurrection, if I'm going to experience God, because I don't just want to go through hell every day on my way to heaven, but the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth that is in heaven. And I want heaven to invade my home, heaven to invade my work. I want heaven to invade this earth, and I want more of earth to go to heaven. And if that's going to happen, then one thing I've figured out is that I've got to leave some stuff behind so I can move forward. To fully understand the depths of the scripture, we've got to look at the context in which Paul is writing this. You see, Paul is writing the book of Philippians from prison. You heard me right. Prison. This is what's called a prison epistle. You see, Paul was in prison, don't trip, because he did something wrong. He was in prison because he was preaching the gospel, okay? And so you're like, what did Paul do? Oh, Lord Jesus, come on. Paul was preaching the gospel, so they threw him in prison. And Paul lost, you could have felt like he lost time. He could have been like, man, that's messed up. I'm over here trying to live for God, and people are hating on me. Side note, you people will hate on you when you do right. Okay. They will put you in metaphorical prisons. They won't invite you because you're the Christian. Come on, somebody. They won't, you see them pictures. They didn't invite me. It's because they didn't want you there because they know who you represent. But anyway, I better just leave that one alone. But you know, they threw him in prison. And Paul could have got discouraged. He could have got offended. He could have got mad at God. God, here I am trying to honor you. Here I am trying to live your word. I paid my tithes. I even say that. I went to church. You know, I did all that. He could have got discouraged, but instead Paul says, I am not going to let something in the past hold me back from what God wants to move me into my future. He says, so I've realized that if I'm going to move into a new year, if I'm going to move into a greater dimension, if I'm going to see God move in my marriage, if I'm going to see God move in my mind, if I'm going to see God move in my spirit, if I'm going to see God move in my future, then I have got to forget what's behind me, and I've got to move into something greater. 2018 is going to be the greatest year for your life, but here's what we have to do. How can we experience a year of divine acceleration and multiplication? Is there anybody in the room that wants to know how? Come on, somebody. Okay, point number one, write this down. Come on, I got some work to do. What time is it? I got plenty of time. Come on, somebody. Point number one, write this down. In order to experience divine acceleration and multiplication, then you've got to leave some things behind. Tell your neighbor, say, leave it behind. And tell your second choice neighbor, let it go. Déjalo ir. Let it go. My mom says, just let it go, mijo. Let it go. All right, mom. Come on, somebody. All right. I want to show you this here because Paul says that in order to move forward, you've got to move on. That in order to truly experience something new, he uses this terminology. He says, forget the things that are behind you and then reach forward to the things that are ahead. Here's the danger we can all have going into a new year, is that we are so focused on moving forward that we forget to leave some things behind. So what happens is, as we're trying to move forward, we're bringing things that we should be leaving behind and not bringing forward with us. Paul didn't say, one thing I do, I just move forward. He said, no, one thing I do, I deal with stuff that needs to be left behind, then I move forward. I don't just move on, but I get healed and I eliminate some stuff so that I can truly move into something greater that God has for me. So Paul says this. Now, I want to support this thought, not just by one text, so you know I'm exegeting it through the Bible, but also in the book of Isaiah. I want you to see this, because Paul says this, but also the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says this. The Bible says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Do you know anybody who just dwells in the past all the time? Don't point. That was not nice, sir. Back over there to point. I'm just joking. Come on. Do you know anybody who just dwells in the past? Like, that's all they do is just dwell in the past. It's like, here we go again. See, what had happened was... Oh, here we go. It's like the guy who came up for prayer, and he's like, Pastor, pray for my wife. She always goes historical on me. And he's like, you meant hysterical? He says, no, historical. She always brings up the past. Pray for my wife, Pastor. Cheesy preacher jokes. Come on, somebody. Amen. See, we could get stuck on the past very easy. Come on, let's be honest. Some of us actually like it sometimes. You know, we got that song that just reminds us. Put it on one more time. Come on, man. You know, you put it on, it's like, sad girl. Come on, somebody. Do you even listen to that anymore? I don't know. But anyway, no problem. It just reminds me of that moment in my life. Come on, somebody. Find a new song. Get a song that doesn't remind you of the past. Get a song that reminds you of your future. And put on We Are Free. Freedom House wrote that one. But you know, put it something that I don't want to dwell on my past, man. I want to dwell on my future. Isaiah the prophet says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. The prophet Isaiah declares, and he says, see, tell your neighbor, say, see. He says, see, I am doing a what? A new thing, the Bible says. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm making streams in the wasteland. God is into doing new things. I know you did not come to church for an old thing. You came to church for a new. Anybody in this house here for a new thing? I feel like I have to say, I am not trying to move you emotionally. I am trying to speak to your spirit where you get so full of the word of God that you know that God has a prophetic destiny, a prophetic release for your life, and that your days, come on somebody, of struggling can come to an end so that the kingdom of God can come through you. Someone say amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Watch this. The further, more scriptures. The Bible says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what does the Bible say? We lay aside every what? Weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. Here are three scriptures painted through the Bible that deals with this thought of leaving some stuff behind. Listen to me and listen to me dearly. Not everything in your life can go with you into your future. Not everything in your life should be allowed to move with you into your future. If we don't deal with certain things, then we will never truly experience a new move of God because we always bring the old into the new thing. I know it hurts to let some things go, but I'm telling you right now, it's gonna hurt you more to hold on to it. I'm trying. I know that it's hard sometimes to let it, to move on, but if you don't move on, it's gonna hold you back. You see, I'm talking about move, and the truth is, when we get to moving, who likes to move? By a show of hands, who loves to move? So we can all call you, praise the Lord, all right. Nobody raised their hand, all right. Nobody likes to move. One thing I've learned about moving is that when you move, you always gotta get a box. Sorry, fumble. Looking like Todd Gurley, praise the Lord, amen. Oh, that's messed up, huh? Stay with me. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Right. We like having fun in church. All right. One thing about moving is we always got to get a box because you have to start going through your stuff to figure out what's coming with you and what's going to stay in the trash. If we're all honest, we dread this. Because we're like, oh, I don't even want to go through that drawer. I have no idea what's in there. I might find my nephew in there. Come on, somebody. Come on now. We dread this. Sometimes we won't even move because of this process. Woo! I feel like I stepped on something right there. We'll just stay because I don't want to deal with this. Even though I know that there's so much I need to go to, but I don't want to confront the junk. So we will settle because I don't want to open all this. So we'll contemplate it. I need to move. I need to move. I need to move. I need to move. This is killing me. I need to move. I need to move. I need to move. Holy Spirit, message, preaching. Okay, I'll move. Here's a box. We'd rather just say, okay, let's go then. I'm ready to move. But then you wonder why, when you move all your junk into the new place is never new. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me out, Brian. I don't know what's happening right now. Because, so, okay, let's move. I don't know what happened. And people will change marriages. Lord Jesus. But wonder, why is this second marriage as jacked up as the other one? They will move jobs, companies. This company screwed up too. Really? They will move churches. This church got bad attitudes too. They will move families. They will move friends. Because the truth is, you've been moving all your junk everywhere you've been going, and God says you can't move forward until you leave some things behind. Who am I talking to this morning? Who am I preaching to that ain't going to be afraid to confront the junk? Tell five people, say, confront the junk. Tell five, say, confront the junk. Tell them. Tell five, confront the junk. Why do you make me talk to people? Maybe they'll listen to you. Because confront the junk. Let's do it. All right. I'm ready. 21-day fast. Vámonos, pues. All right. What's in here? We open it. And then you figure out, I have been storing trash. Have you figured out when you move sometimes you're like, this is a receipt from 1974. Why am I storing trash? So you open it. And you open it and you're like, what should I take here? What's in here? Oh yeah, okay. Bills. Should I take that with me in the new year? Man, I don't want no bills. But if I don't deal with my bills, I'll never be financially free. I can't take overspending with me in 2018. I can't take on more debt. You find that secret credit card you opened, you didn't tell your spouse. Come on, oh, Jesus. I don't know who that was for. Should I take the bills with me in 2018? Leave it, he said. Come on, somebody. But you got to pay them, all right? So we're going to leave them because you're going to leave overspending behind, but you're still going to pay your bills. Okay, praise the Lord. And you're going to sign up for Pastor Josiah's Financial Freedom Class on January 27, 9 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. here at Freedom House Church. God bless. Amen. Cheap, bro. What else we got in here? Oh, a family picture. Should I take my family into 2018? But you'd be surprised how many people's 2018 goals don't include their family. We leave our family behind because everything is surrounded upon you and your career. What about your family? You're the priest of your home. You're their mom. What about your brothers and sisters? Don't leave them behind. Maybe this year, it got quiet in this church. Come on, somebody. I can't leave them behind. I need to take my family with me. I need to fast for them. I need to pray for them. I need to worship God for them. I need to intercede for them. Should I take my family? I'm taking my family. You're coming. What do we got here? Report card. Children's homework. Should we take that into 2018? Better grades? Let's be better parents. I'm taking this one. Come on, somebody. What's this? A little black book. Oh, Jesus. I am burned. What else I got out here? Little black book. You know, the one that you has letters from your ex and all that. Come on, somebody. You know, it's memories. It's the devil. Come on, that's right. Should we leave it or should we take it? But leave it. What's this? Hurt. Now I want to take this one because you know what? That was messed up. That was messed up. What they did was wrong and they need to, you know, that's messed up. Should I take it or leave it? All right. Freedom House ornament. You find all kinds of things in drawers, you know? I was looking for this thing. Freedom House ornament. I don't know if I want to take Freedom House with me in the new year. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's a bigger building, a bigger church. I don't think I know everybody. I don't know if I should take it into the new year. Maybe I'm just feeling like, you know what? I don't know if I should, even though, come on, God saved you here. You're baptized here. Come on. I don't know if I should go, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling connected. I don't know if I made friends. Well, go make friends. Come on, somebody. Should I take Freedom House with me in 2018? Come on, somebody. You're coming with me, Freedom House. My serve shirt. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to serve in 2018. Laziness. Well, you know, I need some me time. Yeah, but you only need 7 days of me time. Come on, somebody. Should I take it or should I leave it? All right, I'm going to leave it. Drawer number one. Hallelujah. What's in drawer number two? We taking that. SC. Come on, somebody. I know we had a rough year, but we going to come back in 2018. Should I take it or should I? I should take it. Praise the Lord. What else we got in here? What do we got in here, man? My wedding picture. Yeah. Should I take my marriage into greater places in 2018? Yeah, but we got in a lot of arguments. Yeah, but you know, we don't just always see eye to eye. Yeah, well, he gets on my nerves. Well, let him get on your heart. Come on, somebody. Yeah, but we're different. That's a good thing. Because if you were just like you, you really wouldn't like him. Come on, somebody. We having fun. Come on now. We're married. I made a vow. I made a commitment. Do your 2018 goals include growing in your marriage? Don't just leave it. I'm going to take it. What do we got in here? La Santa Biblia. Come on, somebody. Should I take the Word of God with me into 2018? Because, you know, there's a lot. I know we say this, but listen, a lot of times you'd be surprised how many people, the Word is not even one of their goals. To know God more in this Word. You know, their goals include all kinds of stuff. But what about the Word of God? The hope. Should we take it into 2018? Let's take it. What else is in here? A little black dress. You know the one you wear on Saturday night? Come on, somebody. Because you don't wear it on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. What happened here? Jesus. The one in the way back of the closet. Come on now. Leave it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. That's not you no more. You are saved, girl. Come on, somebody. Offense. But I'm offended. You know? Should we leave it or should we take it? Leave it. Amen. Last one. What do we got here? The club high heel. Come on, somebody. What should we do, ladies? Leave it, because you know it only wear for 5 minutes and you're like, come on, all right, leave it. The gym, we need to take it. Come on. Come on, don't leave it. I'm hearing leave it. No, we're taking the, come on, we need to be healthy in 2018. Come on, somebody. What do we got here? A work boot. We're going to take some hard work in 2018. But wait. I don't know. Maybe I'll just collect unemployment more in 2018. Ooh, Jesus. That one, I stepped on a nerve on that one. Well, I don't know if I want to go to work, you know. I mean, I'll just milk it a little more. We're taking hard work in 2018. Come on, somebody. Unforgiveness. Take it or leave it. Well, I need to leave it. All of that in here. You see, when we're ready to move, you find out that you don't need to carry all that stuff with you all along. That all along, you've been carrying more than you've needed to carry. All along, you've wondered, why am I not having a new year? Why does my marriage keep hitting a lid? Why does my walk with God keep stopping at a certain point? I'm telling you, it's because you have not left some things behind. And God would say to you on this first Sunday of 2018 that it's time to leave some things and it's time to get moving. You can't take it all with you. This won't work. This doesn't work. You've got to get your stuff and be like, devil, I'm only taking with me into the new year what's going to help me get to the place that I know God has called me to get to. So what do you do when you got your moving box all loaded up? Point number two, write this down. You move closer to God. You plan to move closer to God in 2018. Now that you have all your stuff that you're really taking with you, plan to move closer to God. God, I'm going to move closer to you with all this stuff. With my marriage, with my family, with hard work, with my word, with my kids, with my mind, with my spirit. God, I'm going to move closer to you. Because see, so many people want to move closer to their career instead of their calling. So many people want to move closer to so many other things. But I'm telling you, you've got to make a decision to move closer to the things of God. Because the closer you get to God, the closer you'll get to freedom, to hope, to forgiveness, to strength, to no more depression. No more anxiety, the closer you'll get to healing. So you gotta move closer to God with your stuff. And the closer you get to God, the further you're gonna get from the negativity, from the addiction, from the depression, from the anxiety, from the unforgiveness, from the drama, from the nonsense. I'm taking my stuff and I'm moving closer to God.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you are encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.